Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
It is that time of year again. It is that time when you're packing shoeboxes. Now, there was a time in my life where that wasn't something that you did, but in our family's life with Jan and our three sons and grandchildren, doing the shoebox is very important, and being a part of Operation Christmas Child is vital. So we're here today, and we're going to have an interview that I believe will just encourage you to participate, but also to be on mission for God. Nathan, we talk about missions and how God operates and how God uses. God has really used Samaritan's Purse through Operation Christmas Child, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be very interesting for us to learn some of those numbers and to hear how far and extensive throughout the world that God has advanced the gospel and the reach of what God is doing in the world through Operation Christmas Child, through a simple shoebox, the small little gifts packed inside of a shoebox, going to the far reaches of the world, and God using that. It's going to be interesting for us to get updated on that. But I think more interesting than that is to hear stories of individuals, brothers or sisters, who have been changed, who have been impacted by that ministry, and as they hear the gospel, responding to Jesus Christ and seeing life transformation happen for them. That's a joyful celebration to get to hear and take part in that story.
Well, with that in mind, this is the interview time that we dearly love to hear from people whose lives have been touched by Operation Christmas Child. And we have such a person with us today, and we are excited about this interview. We get excited here at AFR when it's Operation Christmas Child promotion time. Now, we do quite a bit, but nothing any more of great significance that I know concerning missions and the gospel than Operation Christmas Child. So today we have a guest with us, and his life has been affected, and we're going to hear his story concerning what God has done. And it is God that does it. He takes these shoeboxes and the gospel and brings great, great things from it. Our guest today is Basit Hamad. And Basit, welcome to Exploring Missions.
Thank you so much, sir. I'm very glad and excited to be here and very pleased for you guys to have me.
And we want to hear your story. And you're in Boone, North Carolina, headquarters for Samaritan's Purse. And there's other collection places all over the United States, 5,000 collection places. And then you have the distribution centers. It has grown so much, and we praise God for it. I want to make this for sure. Their goal this year is reaching 12.6 million children with these shoe boxes with the gospel of Christ. So we want you who are listening, if you haven't done this yet, you can go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC and find out more about this. Basit, we want to hear your story. Tell us about your childhood growing up in a very hostile country concerning the gospel.
Yes, absolutely. I was born and raised in a Christian family, but the country that I live is highly sensitive to Christianity. 99.8% of the total population are non-Christians. And me living with my family in my country faced religious discrimination and persecution. My dad was rejected several good jobs because of his faith. I personally know believers and pastors who have lost their lives because of their faith. And growing up into an environment like this, poverty was one of the big challenges. Sometimes all we have to eat is just bread and water. And water was also one of the big challenges. I remember myself holding a bucket of water and walking almost a mile to get clean drinking water for me and my family. I was the only Christian student studying in my school, and I was often being rejected by other students. They did not want to sit with me, share their meals with me, or sometimes even play with me just because I was a Christian. And that will always put me into a spiral, and I will get back home and talk to my parents that why this is happening with me. And they will always tell me to stand firm in the Lord, and He got you even in the hardest of situations. And that's where I memorized my very favorite verses from Book of Proverbs: trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He shall direct your path. So this is my childhood and how I grew up in my country.
You know, Basit, it's very hard for some of us, I would say myself, and probably several of our listeners, to identify with your story. Many of us, like me, have grown up in a Christian culture, or maybe a subculture, a little bit of a bubble, that we were not exposed to extreme poverty. I never had to walk a mile to go get clean water, and I did not feel ostracized or isolated just for the simple fact that I was a part of a Christian family, and that's hard for me to wrap my mind around. So I think it's good as we talk today for all of us to remember that there are millions of brothers and sisters around the world who have the same experience that you had growing up. That's really important for us to remember. Let me ask you this. When you first received your Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift, how old were you at that time?
I was 13 years of age whenever I received my shoebox gift. And growing up, we used to go to the kids' Sunday school, where we will learn Bible verses and read Bible stories to nurture our spiritual growth. And the Sunday school teacher told us that we are going to receive special gifts that are coming from the United States. And before that, I have never received ever any gift in my life before. And I was very excited. I was very happy. But one thing is that I did grow up with a lot of broken promises, and I wasn't sure if I'm going to receive this gift, because my parents, friends, relatives, they will come to our home and they will tell me that if I will do good in school, they will get me something, or if on Christmas I'm going to get something, on my birthday I'm going to get something, but that would never happen. And I wasn't sure if I'm going to receive this gift as well, because at one point I was excited, but on the same time I was also nervous that if I'm actually going to receive this gift, because I had a lot of those broken promises. But my mom used to tell us that no one lies when they're standing into the church. And the Sunday school teacher was telling us about the shoebox gift in the church. So I was very excited, and I thought that maybe I might receive my shoebox gift. So, yeah.
Wow. I have seen videos of the children receiving those shoeboxes, the excitement in their faces, and just the joy that they expressed. A picture's worth a thousand words, but I would love for you to describe the day that you received this green and red shoebox. What was it like?
It was beautiful. So it was on a Friday after 2 weeks whenever I received my shoebox gift. And we were in the school, and after school, we were supposed to go to the church where the distribution was happening. And I was a little bit late because of my school, but as soon as I went there and I entered into the church, there was a moment of joy in the air. There was kids who have already received their shoeboxes running from one corner to another, playing with the toys or the stuff that they have found in the shoebox. And whenever I saw that huge pile of red and green colored Operation Christmas Child shoebox, I was very excited, and I was just thinking that I'm just going to go grab as many shoeboxes as I can and take them back home with me. But it didn't work that way. There were some people who asked me to stand in the line and wait for my turn, and that's exactly what I ended up doing. And finally, after a little bit, I was handed over a beautiful, colorful Operation Christmas Child shoebox. And I was so happy and I was so excited. The very first thing that I did is that I hold the shoebox very close to my heart, and I looked up and I was like, thanks God. But then I was also a little bit selfish that I thought that I might lose some items here. So I didn't open up my shoebox there. I waited until I will go back to my home, sit on my bed, And that's where I opened up my shoebox.
Wow.
All right. So we're eager to know, when you did get home and opened up that shoebox, what was inside? Did you have maybe a favorite item that you found inside that shoebox?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. One thing that I do want to mention that have always outstood with me is that somebody has actually taken time from their busy schedules and they packed a shoebox for someone like me, someone that they have never met before. But it was not just a shoebox for me. It was a symbol of love and hope for me as well. Upon opening the shoebox, there were different colorful items. There were some school supplies. There were some stationery supplies. There was a pair of socks and gloves to take care of me during cold winter months. There was a toothbrush to take care of me, my dental hygiene. And there were some toys that I can play with and share with my friends and my family, my siblings. But one of the most flabbergasting thing, or one of the most precious thing that I received in my shoebox, was a picture Bible. Growing up, I always wanted to have a picture Bible, but Christian resources at that point in my country were very few, and they were very hard for us to get. And the reason that I wanted to have a picture Bible is because I just loved to look at those images of Joseph standing into the well and Jesus into the manger, or David throwing a stone at Goliath. And I just loved to look at those images and have that story going in my mind. But my mom will always tell us to pray about the things that we need, and God will provide at the right time. One of the things that I was praying about was a picture Bible, and God answered my prayers through the Operation Christmas Child shoebox. So that was my most favorite item in my shoebox gift.
When I hear that story, Bossett, I can't help but think about our three sons. And of course, Nathan has already expressed to you, we've never experienced anything like you did, but we had a book, a picture Bible, and all three boys just loved that. And it was a picture just demonstrating that, showing that, kind of brought it to life for them, even here in the States when they had so many other things. But it really made an impact even on their lives back then. And the one, Nathan, I don't know if you remember it or not, all three of you, the one that y'all would concentrate more on than any of them was Jesus when he was on the cross. It was just something y'all would look at and dwell on. And I think it helped set you up for the opportunity to know what Christ has done. So praise the Lord for that answered prayer.
You know, I'm thinking that it's amazing how we're talking a lot about simple things, you know, a simple shoebox, a simple gift, a simple picture Bible for a young person, a child. But God uses a lot of those simple things to bring profound life change and growth and transformation into our lives. Amen. So I can be thankful. We can be thankful and praise God for those simple things that he uses.
Amen. We're talking to Bossett Hamad. He is with Operation Christmas Child. He is in Boone, North Carolina, as we're talking with him. And we're so glad he could be with us, and he's telling us his story concerning receiving a shoebox. So here's the other question. Can you describe spiritually what this meant to you then and even now?
Yes, absolutely. So after receiving my shoebox gift, we were told by our Sunday school teacher to come more regularly to the Sunday school where we will learn more about Christ and be discipled. And that's what I kept doing. And that has a huge impact in my life in the sense that it helped me to have firm foundation and grow my faith in Christ. And that's where I understood the importance of prayer, and I need to do it daily in my life. So that's how the spiritual impact of God through a shoebox had on me then. And now I see that how it has impacted me, and then I'm very excited to tell other people about the shoebox, that it's not just a bunch of toys. Yes, a shoebox is just things as useless as it can be, but it's the power of the gospel and it's the power of God that is going through this shoebox. And a shoebox can do nothing, but God is using this ministry and God is using this shoebox to reach the ends of the earth, and people are hearing and knowing about Christ.
You know, Nathan, before you ask the next question, I could not help but think, Bossy, when you were talking about markers, when you read in the Old Testament, there were certain locations, certain places that were spiritual markers in people's lives. And some people keep a journal. Now, females would call it a diary, but men, we want to say a journal. But there's these markers in our lives, Nathan, that really just impact us. And I go over that. When I heard Bossett talking about the impact it made on him spiritually, that people cared and everything, there's some markers in my life as well, and I'm sure in yours. And we want to encourage those who are believers. And I really believe one of the markers in my life was when on my first mission trip, it made a world of difference in my life. So being on mission for God really is a marker, and you can write it down, remember it, and God will direct your paths, won't he?
Yeah, absolutely. It's important for us to take the time to look back and see how God has been active in our lives, but also know that the trajectory of our life, the path that our lives have taken, and for most of us, it's not a straight line. It's a lot of bends in the road. But as you can see the faithfulness of God working in our lives through the years, you can sort of get a glimpse, maybe a vision of where he is working in the future, what he wants you to do, what's your next step. And I think it's important from time to time to look back so we can then turn and look forward and see where God might be sending us. Kind of thinking of that, I had a passage of scripture in mind from Acts chapter 17. Paul is preaching to the people in Athens, the city of Athens, and he says this as a part of his message. This is Acts 17, verses 26 and 27. He says, "From one man he created," speaking of God, "God created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries." In other words, everybody that's ever been born, God has sovereignly chosen when they live, the time periods, and the location that where they should live. Verse 27, it says, "God's purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." Bossett, I'm interested to know a little bit of your journey from maybe wherever you started, somewhere in the world, and we're assuming it's somewhere what we would call the 1040 window, where it's most difficult for the gospel to reach people that have not heard it, and for people who have responded to the gospel, it's a very difficult life, like you described, growing up under persecution and discrimination and hardship. So from there, you're growing up and receiving this shoebox to now, here we are talking to you as you are in Boone, North Carolina. What brought you to the United States and how did that come about?
So at the age of 16, I got saved in a youth camp and I started to serve in my local church. And while serving in my local church, I will go with my pastor and we will do street evangelism. And one day a thought came to my mind is that nobody's going to the unreached areas with no access to the roads in my country. That led me to have more thoughts and more conversations with my pastor. And then we decided that we're going to make a team from my church and we will do hiking trips back and forth into those villages, build a relationship with them, and then share the gospel with them. But then it didn't work out because we live under poverty. We didn't have the proper gears and equipment. The last trip that we did was about 10 hours hike back and forth, and it was cold, and it started to rain, and the team, whenever we got back, everybody got sick, and they decided that we're not going to do it anymore unless we have the proper gears and equipment. And I was just praying to God, and I was like, "God, please make a way." And months passed by, and I was praying to God. But then I learned about Mission Aviation, and I started to connect with Mission Aviation organizations in the United States and asking them that we need you guys in my country. It's one of the largest populated countries into the world with only 90 9.8% non-believers, only 2% believers. And we need to take the gospel to these people. And one of the organizations from Alaska sent an email to me, and they said that they're very glad and happy that they have brothers and sisters in Christ in those parts of the world. And they told me that what I can do in my country is what they cannot do. So they asked me that, why don't you come to the States, get your training and become a missionary pilot? And I was young and I was very excited, and that was an answered prayer. And I'm just thinking that next week I'm going to U.S., following week I'm going to be a pilot, and the following week I'm going to come back and be a missionary pilot in my country. But it took us 9 years to build relationship, pray, to build credibility, to raise support. And then in 2021, I came to the United States, got admission in a Bible college in West Virginia, and I graduated from there in 2023 with a master's in ministry. And I am a pilot as well. I fly single-engine airplanes, and I'm going through the ordination process with my local church right now, and I want to be an ordained pastor. And God has led this, put this thing in my heart that I want to do expository preaching. And I'm also a missionary, and I was able to register a nonprofit last year in U.S., and we are fully focused on reaching the unreached people groups around the world, especially, like you said, Brother 1040 Window. And so that's how I ended up in the United States, and right now I'm in the process of support raising. But once I have done it fully, then I will be back in my country. So that's how I ended up in the United States, and that's what I'm doing right now. And I'm also doing this volunteer role with Operation Christmas Child, because I did got connected with them in 2022 while visiting a local church in my Bible college. Whenever I was studying there, on a Sunday I went to a church and I saw them there and started to talk to them, and that led into for me to serve as a volunteer role and share my testimony with the interviews on radios or conferences or churches or on events, and just trying to tell people that how God can use a shoebox and impact communities, not even a child, but a community or families or villages. So that's how I came to the United States.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
I can see that being made into a film. That is awesome. We got one more question. Time is fleeting, but I want you, if you would, to tell the listeners that are listening today the one thing that they need to know and you had asked them to do concerning Operation Christmas Child. Would you do that, Bassett?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to tell the listeners that whenever you pack a shoebox, don't think that you're just packing a bunch of toys. But actually, whenever the kid receives a shoebox, they get the gospel with it, and they're invited to get enrolled into a Greatest Journey, which is a 12-week discipleship program in which they learn about Christ, and they learn about evangelism, they're discipled, and they're trained to go and multiply. And through the shoebox ministry, not only kids, but their families and their communities are coming to Christ as well. One of the writers, Oswald J. Smith, writes that we talk about the second coming of Christ, but half of us has not even heard about the first. 3.4 billion people still need to hear the gospel. And one of the best way to do it is through Operation Christmas Child, sending shoeboxes with the gospel to around the world. And people are hearing about the gospel, they're getting saved, and they're committing to pray and share it with others as well. Every 1 minute, about 5 kids get to hear about the gospel. They put their faith and believe in Christ, and they're committed to pray and share it with others as well. So huge. God is using this ministry, and God is using a shoebox to reach the people with the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ's salvation. So that's one thing that I want to tell our audience, and then just encourage you to pack more shoeboxes, pray over them, and just pray that they're going to go to a kid who has never heard about the gospel, and that can become a source of salvation for him. I would finish with this one quote by Charles Spurgeon. I love Charles Spurgeon, John MacArthur, these both people, I love them. But one of the quotes by Charles Spurgeon is that the gospel is the lamp in the night. The gospel is the lamp in the night. It's the light in the day, and it's delight all the times. Let's join hands together and take this delight to the ends of the earth.
Amen. Amen. Nathan, that child sounds like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Let me just tell you, Bossett, if you're listening and reading Charles Spurgeon, and then you're studying about the words, what they mean from John MacArthur, you are doing a theological study. That's exciting, isn't it, Nathan?
Yeah, it really is to be able to think of someone like Bossett from growing up in global poverty, facing persecution and ostracism for being a part of a Christian family, hearing the gospel, responding to that, and then just following the Lord as God has led him, even back here to the United States for growth and education and now preparation to go back and reach unreached peoples with this good news of Jesus. It's really just an awesome story to hear that. You know, as we think about Operation Christmas Child, over the years since 1993, over 232 million shoebox gifts have been collected for children. And that's reached over 170 countries and territories. And like you said, this year, their goal is another 12.6 million children to be reached. So we praise God that we could be a part of this and also celebrate what God has done and is doing in our brother Bossett's life as well.
Our guest has been Bossett Hamad, again from a country that is hostile to the Christian faith. Him being a Christian growing up, received a shoebox. One of these days, Bossett is going to be able to meet the person that sent that shoebox to him. Can you imagine that in heaven? Everybody wants to know what we'll be doing in heaven for that long. I think we'll be meet person after person after person that has just blessed our lives. And we want you to be a part of the blessing. Those of you who are listening, we want you to be a part and pack a shoebox. If you want to know what else you can do it by going and being a part of it by SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And the collection week, again, November the 17th through the 24th. Be sure and get it done and be a part of what God is doing all over the world. Bossett, again, we want to say thank you for being with us, brother.
Thank you so much, sir. It was a really good time, and I'm very excited and thankful for your ministry as well, and then how you are taking the word out, and I would definitely be praying for you guys as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions and touch the world by packing a shoebox.